Take two. This is our second take. Brian Kreuzberger with Breakthrough Email. I've got Janine Pelosi at Zoom. Excited to have you here. Thanks.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell everybody, you know, kind of your role and a little bit about your background, and then we'll kind of jump into it.
Perfect. Well, I lead marketing for Zoom Video Communications, a wonderful company that's really disrupting video conferencing as it's known today in a market full of a bunch of gorillas. And so prior to this role, I was leading worldwide demand gen for Cisco, specifically for WebEx within the collaboration business unit. So happy to be here and change things up.
Yeah, and we're on Zoom right now recording, so we're going to be able to use Zoom a bunch, you know, for the coaching calls and the webinars and things like that. So walk me through kind of your day, you know, with like people reaching out to you, working on what you need to work on, you know, working on what you need to work on, you know, just kind of like give me a quick snapshot of your day.
Quick snapshot. You know, it's like most, you know, I wake up and unfortunately or fortunately, the first thing, you know, you do is check and see what's waiting for you, right? So check the usual, you know, email, you know, a couple personal corporate emails, go through those, you know, find anything that has immediate actions, right? So I'm going to go through, you know, obviously, you know, Eric, our CEO, you know, Dave, our president, my team, get to anything urgent. And then I'm going to, you know, get ready for work, hang out with my 3-year-old daughter for a little bit, and then basically get into the office. When I get in, I guess, specific to communications, I'm going to delete a lot. I think I'd shared that with you in the past, right? I'm going to delete a lot, right? Unless I know you, you're not going to get any of my mind share first thing in the morning, because I'm trying to really get to what I need to before I'm slammed in meetings or pulled in a million different directions throughout the day. I try and keep meetings to a limit, right? Even though we work for a meetings company or a tool that enables that collaboration, you know, my team knows don't set up a meeting unless it's urgent. You know, walk over to the office, let's have a quick chat, or use our IM to just get to decisions.
And what about like people reaching out to you? I mean, how many, like in a week, how many calls do you get? How many cold calls do you get from salespeople, or how do you?
Yeah. To be brutally honest, I don't know my phone number at my desk. I don't know what my direct line is. I get so many calls. I don't think I've checked my work. I'm trying to think how long it's been. Probably close to 8 years since I've listened to a voicemail on my work number, because I just get inundated, whether it's media companies or folks that really, you know, probably do have solutions that can help us. Uh-huh. Phone is just not the way to go about it. And then emails, you know, I mentioned I delete a lot. I come into at least, you know, 40 to 60 cold emails a day. So it's just not going to be feasible for me to reach out that way. So the best way too is probably throughout the day, later in the day, which I know from a marketing standpoint, you know, we try to bring some of that into our communications. But you know, it's okay to send an email after lunch, right? And you're probably going to get my mind share because I'm looking at one thing versus, you know, 50.
Right. Everything that's accumulated over the night, you know, yep. So, you know, like, and all the urgent things you have to take care of in the morning.
Or those people that just think, okay, I'm going to send out my email blasts to everyone on the Pacific Coast at, you know, between, you know, 5 and 7 a.m. We're doing that with a lot of other people.
What about, I mean, how can you not check your voicemail? Like, what if your boss calls you, you know?
Or... They know not to. So my boss is going to reach out over chat. We don't even use email a ton here, to be honest. I know that's kind of a theme. There's a lot of companies coming out that are, you know, really trying to replace email and gain efficiencies. But for us, most of our communications are going to be through chat.
And what about LinkedIn for you?
LinkedIn for me. So that's one. If I go in right now, I do have it open. You know, I have 120 messages right now that I haven't yet gotten to. So this is one that You know, I will check them, but I wouldn't say it's something that you're not going to get my immediate mind share. Like if you need a decision made or you need something quickly, I'll get to the LinkedIn, but it's not going to be in a timely fashion.
How often do you check it or reply to people?
Probably if I see something come in from somebody that I know,
right.
I'll see it in my Gmail and I'll go and I'll check that. And then I might, if I have time, look at a couple of the messages before or after, but it's going to be something. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I'm going to go check my LinkedIn. I'm not one who lives in LinkedIn.
So you'll get an email with the LinkedIn message. Is that right?
Yeah. From someone I know. I'll get a lot of LinkedIn messages, but if I don't know you, I'm probably not going to go in and look.
What about like friend requests on LinkedIn?
Friend requests on LinkedIn.
Do you just kind of accept everybody? Do you not accept?
I don't accept everyone. If I don't know you, I'm probably not going to accept you. You know, colleagues, absolutely. I'll go in. I can quickly kind of do that from my email. Sometimes the apps work actually, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it wants you to kind of log in again. And then if I hit that, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to go on to something else. But yeah, no cold requests. If I don't know you, I'm not going to accept you.
What about are people ever like text messaging you or on Facebook? I mean, I'm curious, you know, other ways people might carrier pigeon.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's astonishing to me how many people do have my cell phone number. It's at a point now, and I do have it in my email signature, but it's still, knowing as much as I do about the digital world, I know how big brother it can be, and it still astonishes me that people can get my cell phone number. But if I don't, now I get to a point where if I don't know the number, I'm not going to answer. I'll let it go to voicemail.
Sure.
You know, sometimes every once in a while, I'll think I'll know the number and they'll answer it, and it's a cold call. And that one, I'm just going to say, I really don't have the time.
So say it's me, I'm calling and I'm like, hey, you know, Ryan Kreuzberger, breakthrough email, cold calling you. What's going on in your mind? You know, as you pick up your phone, right? You're over here, you got your mobile. What are you thinking?
I think it's annoying. I really do. I'm not a fan of cold calls. Because I'm not ready to, I'm probably only answering it because I think it's somebody else.
Right.
And then throughout the day, I'm just not going to have time for a conversation that isn't going to be top of mind. So email is going to be the best way to reach me, but it's going to be throughout the day, like not one, as I mentioned earlier, in the morning.
So, okay. So you're not a morning person, or you're busy in the morning, right?
I'm very busy in the morning. Yeah.
Tell me about like the emails that you normally get, right? Like if you kind of were to say, hey, here are the 40 or 50 and kind of sum them up, you know, how would you sum up the emails that you're getting right now?
You know, overall, I think it's a lot of really great solutions. It's a lot of marketing tools. And while I think that, a lot of them could probably add value, I just don't have the time to bring on 50 marketing tools, you know, in a quarter or even in a year. So I think it's great for the industry to have so many, disruptive tools coming out that can, over time, provide value. But you know, the reality is a lot of these tools aren't going to provide value off the bat, and they're going to be a lot of hard work in the beginning. So that's the hurdle that I think a lot of
people. Tell me about that. I don't think people get that, right? So like, hey, can you buy my thing, right? But like ultimately, what, you know, as an executive, as a buyer, you know, they're not really considering all the implementation and everything that has to go into it. Like how do you kind of consider the decision, you know?
For us here, I think we really, pilots are very important. Any opportunity to, you know, I hate the term try something free. I mean, we really, started a lot of that actually years ago with WebEx, with the free trial, that kind of whole, you know, web touch model. And it is valuable to be able to kick the tires on your own time. I mean, there's a lot of stats coming out today about folks that, you know, folks have made their decision when they're ready to talk to you in most cases, right? They're set somewhere between 60 and 80% through that buying cycle. But the reality is it's that hurdle of implementation and my team's busy. And typically I think that's a great point. For me, I'm going to, you know, you should be reaching out to my team, not me, because they're the ones that are going to bring these things and say, hey, this is needed. They're the ones on the front lines of these programs. So if they're not experiencing a pain point, then it's not something that's going to get my mind share.
Yeah. How does somebody actually get your attention, right? Like, walk me through like what people have either done in the past to, you know, you look at the email and you're like, all right, this one's different, or, you know, like what does somebody have to do to actually get your attention, or what have they historically done?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's this whole concept in advertising of frequency, like this magic number of six, right? You need to hear or see something six times before you're ready to take an action. And so really taking an integrated approach, right? I might see something on social, I may hear it from a colleague. We all know that referrals and, you know, are going to be the number one way to get through to folks. Digital, I do think digital banners and such is kind of a black hole. You can spend and waste a lot of money there. I'm not sure how much it helps the awareness piece, but I'd say from an email standpoint, it's going to be humor, like authentic humor. And if you're the one responsible for these email programs and you don't think you're fine, like go find someone, like, you know, there's probably somebody that you know, or that works in your office, that's like authentically funny.
Right.
And that is probably going to be the number one thing that's going to get my attention. And then at that point, I think if it does get my attention and I think it's interesting, I'm going to forward it to the team. The person that you know makes the most sense to be taking a look at it. I myself likely wouldn't respond.
Right. And when have you taken meetings, like in the past, like you yourself?
When my team has said, Janine, you need to jump on this. I think it's really cool. But right. I typically let them have that first discussion and determine, like, okay, this is going to solve a pain point that I currently have. Then they kind of bring it back and say, all right, it's time to get some mind share and to start thinking about this.
What about for who you report into? Like what's, you know, you don't have to say the name, but like what's the level of the person who, you know, their title?
The president of the company before that was our CEO. So yeah, I mean, that's the other one, right? If somebody can get to our president or our CEO and they send something to me, then, you know, I have to at least take a look at it. But even at that point, I'll typically still, you know, send it to the right person on the team to investigate it.
What about, say they're not funny, right? Like what else have people done in the past, right? To get you to respond, you know, whether it's sending it to the team or like, what would you recommend people do or what should they focus on as they're approaching you?
I think what I mentioned, it is kind of annoying, right? Cause I've got a million things on my plate, but if you can get to, that C level, and get it back this way, it does force my hand a little bit. That can be a little, irritating, you know, but it is going to force my hand to probably take a look at something.
Yeah.
And then the same goes, right? If I send something to my team, if I forward it over, they also know that I don't do that on an ongoing basis.
Right. So
typically, you know, we'll look and investigate if I send something through, cause they know it's not a daily occurrence.
How often do you reply? Do you reply? Do you delete it? Do you archive them?
I would say 99% of the time, you're not going to get a reply from me. Forwarding is going to be what the action that I take.
So 99% of the time, 1% you'll respond. So if we break it down, like every 3 days, you might reply to somebody?
God, that's almost being generous. It's going to be really rare. I'm trying to think of a time where I've actually responded, and it's going to be rare.
So there's a couple of things that, one thing is the waterfall technique. And so years ago, I had this issue, right? Trying to get to people. And so I realized, like, I just kind of thought, my perspective is always like, do what's right for the buyer, understand the buyer, think, not put yourself in the shoes, but think how they feel, right? Yeah. If I understand the emotions of the other person, and what they're dealing with. And I realized, like, listen, everybody's got a boss.
Yeah.
And I would write you and you would delegate it to somebody else. And like, yeah, but like, I really want to meet with Janine. I know Janine's a decision maker and you know, the other person's going to be risking. So I would just go above the person that was my target. And I was like, oh my gosh, I started getting meetings that nobody else was getting, but you have to have the right messaging to catch the ear of the president or the ear of the CEO. And if you didn't, then they weren't going to reply and they wouldn't care. And I talk about in the messaging, creating a credible opportunity. How can I create something where it's an opportunity for you, not a pitch about us? You know, and it has to be credible because you're like, is it worth my time? Right? Like, really, do I care? I've got a million things and I've got to make that decision. Like, do I care enough? Right? And and we ended up meeting through a cold email. Right? Several months ago. And so something worked, right?
I can tell you, I remember what it was. It was this concept of how can we bring kind of, we want to bring Zoom in as a speaker. So it was going to provide value to the other end. Right. And that's what's going to get attention.
So you know that you do respond, right? That might've been the last one that you responded to. So how can people create an opportunity for you? Like in your world, what's on your plate, right? Just so they can kind of get understanding, like, what do you actually care about? What are you trying to do? You know, what would be the thing that, like, if it fell in your inbox, you're like, oh, I might look at that. Like, but directionally, like, what is it that's important to you as head of marketing?
Yeah. I mean, what's important to me is, and I think, you know, this isn't going to be just me. I think a lot of, you know, marketing leaders are experiencing this is we're closer to revenue than we've, I think, ever been in the past. And the way that we're going to manage our team is through ROI and not, I mean, I think maybe we touched on this. I think it's surprising. Like we don't talk about what's our CPA. Like you're not going to hear us say, oh, you know, we have $123, you know, cost per acquisition for this program. We're thinking about it more holistically and like really, you know, you give me a dollar, I'm going to give you back this. And in this time frame, because we know that these programs don't work. No one program is going to work in a silo, right? Everybody's talking about attribution. It's, you know, obviously much harder to do said than done. But I mean, attribution is going to be a big one. Like, show me how I can actually understand the value that each of these programs are providing and in what stage, right? And be honest about it, right? Like, let's not pretend necessarily that if I put a white paper out there that it's going to bring me all net new leads and then they're going to close and I'm going to see that in that silo. But maybe it's about my pipeline and providing those pain points, whether it's, you know, a security white paper or, and I typically hate white papers, like just to put it out there, but I know a lot of people love them. A lot of people love them. Right. So I think it can help a sales cycle and it can speed up a sales cycle, but it's like, know the place of your programs. And so then when you're selling into a buyer such as myself, be really honest about the place in which, whether it's your program or your tool, where it's going to provide value and what hurdles am I going to have to address. Like, yeah, you're not going to see value for the first 3 months. Like, just put it out there and be honest.
You know, I was listening to this podcast on Invisibilia, and this guy started this dating site, you know, because he was like saying, like, listen, Match is like everyone's showing their best, you know, their best of the best versus the reality. And I can't remember the name of it, but it was like, it's called Settle for Love. Right. And so half of it was like everything that was good about you. And the other half of it was, you know, the things that aren't great. And, but what they found was that, like, ultimately, like, biology and the way that people are programmed, like, that's not, you know, that's not how people are attracted to people. Like, hey, like, let me tell you about, like, everything that's good. And, like, let me also tell you about all the shortcomings that you're going to have. And I get it as a buyer because you want to be discerning, right? So it just kind of makes it, you know, even easier for you to say no. What I heard though was, you know, you want to increase your pipeline, increase revenue. You want to be able to track the results and measure and have an idea of how long from the beginning to, you know, when you'll be able to actually attribute the sales or things like that. Is that,
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm support when I think about, you know, going back to revenue, what we're supporting, it's like, you know, there's the online route to market that we're supporting and we're very close to and driving, and we can, we can affect in a short-term way. It's very transactional. And then, you know, I have various segments from small business through very, very large enterprises that we're going to market to with the direct sales team. And so, you know, and then you have those lead targets for each of those segments. And then you think about supporting, you know, the channel. So there's a lot of opportunity for programs to help drive there, but really understanding and being very clear which program or tool is going to affect where and in what time frame.
Knowing that, if I was going to write an email, right, I would say, okay, like, hey, here's your small, you know, here's how we can help the small business segment. Here's how we can help the enterprise segment. Here's how we can help channel marketing. Here's how we can help, you know, online marketing.
Yeah, because I might go, oh, well, my small business is at 136% of its lead goal right now. Like, I don't got to worry about that for the next few weeks or until I see that it's declining. But maybe I have another segment that might be my only segment that's not, you know, at 100%. That's where my focus is going to be at that time. And then you're going to have a higher probability of getting a response.
Yeah.
And how do you know that, right? I mean, that's the challenge. But if you are true to what your program or tool can provide, then there will be folks that it will make sense and be the right time for.
Yeah. I call it the deep sea fishing technique. So like the difference between deep sea fishing and regular fishing, like, have you ever been deep sea fishing?
I have once.
Were you sick? I got
sick. No, but I got close.
I was drinking a bunch of tequila the night before, and it was like, literally, like, get me off of this boat, like, in Cozumel, Mexico. Anyway, but the difference is, like, deep sea, you got multiple lines in the water, right? So you can catch multiple fish, whereas, like, if you're in a river, you got one line, and, you know, that's it. So I can't necessarily, like, meet you in your mind every single time based on where you're really at, but, like, you know, I'd hit online, I'd hit channel, I'd hit small business, and I'd hit enterprise, and hope that, like, maybe I can hit one or two.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know your priorities, but I can, you know, I can have my best guess. And, you know, for anybody like yourself, they're probably going to be in the head of marketing. They're going to be thinking all their channels, they're thinking about how they're supporting them, and, you know, and identifying wherever your pains or frustrations are. And, so...
I think it goes back to how folks see their role. Like, I mean, my leadership style and the way I see my role is to be the advocate for my team, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm orchestrating and I'm making sure that they're all rowing in the right direction. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm relying on them as subject matter experts to really raise their hand and say when they're in need, right? And then trying to understand and get ahead of it. But the reality is I'm going to depend on my team heavily for those kinds of decisions and identifying the pain points.
Anything else to add or any question I should have asked?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground.
Good. Any feedback to, you know, or final advice for everybody, you know, just to kind of.
Yeah. Do your homework, right? Do your homework. Don't make silly mistakes. Like go on LinkedIn once at least and understand my background. You know, when people come in and they, you know, just have wrong information that they should know, that's the other piece. I mean, we're in a world today where there's a lot of information at your fingertips. And if you can tell that someone didn't do, you know, 3 minutes of homework, then that's immediately, it's going to show on the company.
What specifically would you expect them to know? You know, like when you say do your homework, like what do you mean by that?
I had somebody this morning send a note into our info at Zoom, which I I happen to be on, which I probably shouldn't have said. But they referenced not only myself, but a colleague of mine who's no longer with the company.
Okay.
That if they would have taken a moment to go to the leadership page or maybe even this other person's LinkedIn, they would have seen that.
Yeah.
So it just makes them look like they... You know, they didn't spend 30 seconds before they sent that email.
Yeah. Anything else you can think of?
I mean, understand, we actually didn't really touch on this too much, but like understand where you do have, you know, common colleagues or, you know, potential common interests, right? If you get something that is personal, which, right, isn't rocket science. I mean, that's marketing. The more personal you can be and dynamic,
sure,
better your chances. Then it's going to go over better.
Anything that, like, personally, like, if somebody was like, I went to your college, or I'm also a mountain biker, or I grew up, like what would
that be
from a personal perspective? You know, like my mom, like, she's a dog lover, right? If somebody's like, I love cockapoos, she'd be like, whatever. You know, like,
I think I'm real. I'm a very loyal person to my friends. I try and really respect my colleagues in the, you know, my network of folks. So it, you know, if you can get a warm handoff or an introduction, that's going to be number one. I mean, that's really, I will follow up on that because I feel that I should, that it's the right thing to do.
Sure. That's awesome. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. We will stop the recording and just, I think it's just super helpful for everybody to hear this. And I just want to thank you for, you know, sharing it and kind of going behind the scenes on, you know, what your day is and what you experience, and just, you know, I can't tell you how helpful this is for people. So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.